It's not your fault. There, I should be coming on right now. I had it on mute. Hey. It happens to the best of us, you know? Every time. Every time you think you're all prepared and there you have it, right? Just one little thing can cause a train wreck, but not tonight. Again, I'm thankful to be here. I was thankful for our brother's message this morning. And Aaron, you started off your service and you ended your service with some scriptures that really was the crux of what the Lord had put on my heart tonight, and you spoke of hope. And I've been thinking about hope a lot lately, and I think it's one of those things that is important, it's critical, it's vital to our spiritual walk. You know, as I'm getting older, I'm starting to worry less about myself and more about others, especially like, you know, Alicia and my kids and my loved ones. You know, where they're going in their lives, what they're doing, how they're getting there, and how I can be a inspiration to these loved ones of mine. And, you know, I think about that as a father, and I think about that, and I seek counsel from God in those things because I believe that the Lord thinks in a similar fashion. You know, he cares about his children, where they're going, how they're getting there. And really, it's that charitable heart that we should have as a Christian. And I know that God has for his children. It's a really wonderful thing to be able to experience the love and the joy and the understanding of the blessedness that we receive from our Savior, Jesus Christ, and from God the Father. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for all those things, and I believe that that has had a direct influence on some of my thoughts as of recently, especially when it comes to my family, where they're going in life. You know, as I was watching these kids up here, and they're so little, and they're singing, it was like yesterday, you know, Adam was singing in this town hall that, you know, we're already almost done with 2022, and it goes by that fast. It's crazy how fast time goes by. And I remember when my kids were up here singing, Aaron's kids were up here singing, you know, and here they are, and they're sitting here in the front pew, and I got a kind of a little guy back there. He's not so much little anymore. He's my youngest one, and I don't look at him the same way I do as some of these young children. And I start looking at these things and I start contemplating these things and how can I be an inspiration to them? How can I get God to be an inspiration to them? And that's my hope. That's my hope that everything works out great. It's a perfect world for them and everything's going to be just fine. And we know that's not how the world works, especially when it comes to plumbing. Plumbing is something, and I believe a lot of our lives that we struggle with and we deal with, and it can pose challenges to our patience and our frustrations, and so can life. Life has all these things that happen on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis. It seems like every time you feel of comfort and everything's okay and you can relax a little bit, that something new comes along. And it's a humbling experience, and life poses those types of challenges all the time. But I think that God is there for us, and that gives me hope to know that whatever the challenges are, he's going to be able to give us the resources to provide us with the tools that we need to be able to overcome those things. So that really has helped my patience grow as I get older. And, you know, I still lose my patience and have to put myself in check, have to seek the Lord for forgiveness for things that I struggle with, as do we all. And I'm thankful for the scriptures and for some of these things that the Lord has been putting on my heart and on my mind. And, you know, it's especially the hope that I have for all of us, for this local, for the struggles that we go through in our work, in our lives, in our families, in our schools, you know, of the future, what it holds, you know, all these things. There's a hope that we have that the Lord's Spirit gives us to be able to overcome, to be able to endure, to be able to take on these challenges and to do it and to embrace the struggles that we have. I wanted to start off and I wanted to read in Moroni chapter 7, and I'm just going to read five verses there. It's 45 through 49. It says, "And again, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you concerning hope. How is it that ye can attain unto faith, save ye shall have hope? And what is it that ye shall hope for? Behold, I say unto you that ye shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of his resurrection, to be raised unto life eternal. And this is because of your faith in him according to the promise. Wherefore, if we have faith, he must needs have hope. For without faith, there can not be any hope. And again, behold, I say unto you that he cannot have faith and hope, save he shall be meek and lowly of heart. If so, his faith and hope are vain, for none is acceptable before God, save the meek and lowly of heart." And that's what I wanted to speak to in this opening, into these opening verses here, is that meekness and that lowliness of heart. And, you know, it's important that we have that. It's important that we see that. And the quicker that we can understand that we don't have the capability to know everything and to understand everything, and that there is a greater power that does, you know, how much more beneficial is that to the spiritual welfare of our lives, this spiritual walk that we're going through? And so I started asking myself, you know, what is hope? And so I got the Webster's 1828 dictionary out, and I'm going to go through I have four different there's four different references to the definition of hope here, and I really wanted to kind of go through this and to speak about these things and how the scriptures relate to it. And so I'm going to start with the first and main definition of hope. It says a desire of some good, accompanied with at least a slight expectation of it obtaining it. So we got an expectation that we're able to obtain this, whatever it is that we hope for, or a belief that is obtainable. Hope differs from wish and desire in this, that it implies some expectation of obtaining the good desired, or the possibility of possessing it. And so, you know, we have the scriptures, we have everything laid out for us, and that helps us to be able to develop this hope, to be able to know that there is something that is of greater value than what we can comprehend, what there is that is obtainable, that we can hold on to. We know that it is out there, that God proves that to us, that he is there with us, that we can have an expectation and we can understand that there is a place that we all go to after we go through all these struggles in life, that after we deal with all the frustrations in life, that we experience a lot of challenges that can affect us in many different ways, that there is something there that is greater than what we comprehend. And it says in the scriptures here, Romans chapter 15, verse 4, "Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope." And that's again, Romans chapter 15, verse 4. And so that patience, that patience that we start to build up as we understand what we're dealing with, why we're dealing with it, how we're dealing with it through life, really helps us be able to build up that hope and to be able to see and to know and have our faith grow. And so, you know, I had referred to working and through some plumbing issues before in the past. Well, you know, we just recently, after 14 years of living in this house, we had our bathrooms remodeled. And part of that with the kids' bathroom, you know, we did some plumbing in our bathroom, but the kids' bathroom we left the same. And I put some new trim pieces on there. Well, I had to take things apart. And I want to speak towards patience, because with plumbing comes a lot of patience. And so, you know, I get everything together. Everything looks great on the outside, but something's not right, because when the kids go to turn off the water, you can still hear it hissing. And like, there's water bypassing the valve when it's shut all the way off. And I was like, man, you know, what is going on with this thing? And so upon further investigation on Saturday, you know, we had a lot of things to do, but I wanted to really make sure that this was taken care of, because come the end of the night, everybody's got to take their shower. And I didn't want this water running, because I was figuring maybe this is something bigger than, you know, can be put off to later, and it need to be handled on the spot. And so I tore all the plumbing back apart, and there's a valve inside of the shower head assembly. And on the end of that valve, there's a little rubber grommet that seals against the valve to shut the water off. Well, there's a little screw that holds that rubber seal in place, and that screw popped out. So that rubber seal was just kind of bouncing around in there. And I was like, well, where did that screw go? And it's sure enough, I get the flashlight out and I look in the back of the plumbing, and the screw is way deep inside of that plumbing. So, you know, being a mechanic, I have all these different picks to try to get this screw out. And I'm sitting there with one eye, and the hole's this big, and there's a tiny little screw in the very back there that I need to get out to put in the back of this shutoff valve. Well, I didn't have the right tool, but Alicia had this comb with a long metal rod on the end of it. And sure enough, I got that little screw to wiggle free after my patience completely ran out. You know, you just got to take those deep breaths. And I got it to wiggle free because it was wedged back in there. And so we had to devise a plan together to be able to get it out, because it had to come out of a hole that was probably about the size of the tip of an eraser. And there was no way that I could get it out with tweezers or the pick or anything. So Alicia, I said, well, let's try to suck it out with the shop vac. And we got the shop vac out, and I was like, well, I don't want to go digging through the shop vac trying to find this little screw. So Alicia had, a lot of you ladies probably know, when you go to try on shoes, they have those little sock stocking things that you slip over your foot. Well, she had one of those, and I put it on the end of the hose of the shop vac, put it on the pipe, turn it on, it sucked that screw right out of there. And I was ecstatic. And, you know, if this was Gary of 10 years ago, I would have been losing it. I would have really been upset. And working together, working with my wife, understanding the situation, having the patience, we worked through it. And a lot of that, and I give glory to God, is that God has taught me these things, these scenarios in life, to be able to have patience and to understand that whatever the obstacle is, that there is a way to work through it. There is a resolve to the problems. God is there to help us be able to understand that He supports us in all of our endeavors, whether something as little as simple as a plumbing issue, or it's something really serious in our lives. Things happen. Serious things happen. And I hope that you can draw that conclusion from that silly little story to something bigger that's happening in your lives, that we know that we can have a hope and our faith can grow in God to be able to help us understand that whatever that is, whatever that problem is, God will give us a resolve to do it. He'll put people in our lives to be able to help us and to give us the tools to be able to do and to overcome those things and to accomplish those things. That's what the love of God is. And that's what humbles me. That's what helps me be meek and lowly, is to know that there's others that go through struggles, that have had experiences that we can be confident in, knowing that we have that support. God gives us that support. God gives us people in our lives to help us and to support us and to get us through the struggles. Look for those things, understand those things. And so the second part of the definition, number two, is confidence in a future event. The highest degree of well-founded expectation of good. So I really like that confidence in future events. And I could talk about false hope, and I just might a little ways down the road here in this sermon, but, you know, confidence in a future event. There's a big future event going on Monday night. And I know there's Arizona Cardinals fans in the congregation. And, you know, that's, we have hope that the Arizona Cardinals win, go to the Super Bowl, and it'll be a wonderful experience. But more importantly, you know, those things of a future event in our lives, you know, seeing how God works with us, understanding and being able to know that even though we cannot predict and forecast the future, we can see that God is going to be there to look out for our future, to help us through it. There's going to be a lot of spiritual battles. We see things happening all over the world. There's trials, there's tribulations. I was going to say tribulations. There's natural events that are occurring. Tonga just had that giant volcano that went off that was creating all these tsunamis. And there's all these things that can happen in a moment's notice. We don't know what the future is going to hold, but we know that God gives us preaching. He gives us prophecies. He gives us the scriptures to be able to understand that. And I think that each and every one of us are part of God's fulfillment of his prophecies. He talks about how the word of the gospel is going to go throughout all the world. We have a part in that. We see how that affects us and how it affects others when we hear that word, when we understand that word, when we see brothers preaching from different states across the nation. You know, that's how God's word gets out there and gets in our hearts. And that's something that we have to share with others. You know, there's challenges. There's challenges and spiritual battles that we go through, but we have that hope. And with that hope, it gives us confidence in knowing that God has the ability to overcome and that he will conquer. He will prove that. And so I wanted to read in Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then you shall call upon me, and you should go, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." And our hearts, that's so important. You know, we get lost in this world, I think, a lot of times. Lost in all those things that are happening. Lost in our business. Lost in our desires. And I think that draws us away from God. It's kind of like when you're out and you're in a forest and it's a cloudy day and you kind of get turned around and you don't know where you're at exactly. You don't have a compass. You don't have the sun to go off of, so you can't see shadows and which way the sun's going. And you kind of lose your ability of your awareness of your surroundings and your ability to be able to navigate back to your safe place, back to your camp, back to your car, wherever it may be. And in life, you know, it could be the same way, but we know that the Lord has given us, and he gives us a path. He gives us the ability to navigate through this life, to be able to help us be able to understand where we're at and where we need to go. And I brought for an example this right here. This kind of like the scriptures. And recently, this is from a couple years ago when Andy and I took Eric and Brooke to it was a field day for a hunter safety course. It was the field day here. Easton and Asher, Aiden and Alex might have gotten these. Allie might have got one of these. But this is a survival bandana. I think it's really cool, actually, because it kind of gives you help in that time of need. And we carry these in our hunting backpacks. And it has all these different pieces of information here that helps you in case if you get lost in the wilderness. It gives you navigation techniques. It gives you the contents of a survival kit, how to build a shelter, how to make a fire, if you got hypothermia, if it has basic first aid here. It has signaling, how to properly signal, and in the middle it's stop is the first thing that you learn how to do. And it shows you here how to get your bearings for east and west and how to navigate with the shadow stick method. But as I was saying, you know, sometimes in life, we don't have that capability, but you know, we have God that knows the way, that knows the direction. And what I wanted to do tonight is I wanted to hold a little demonstration. So I'm going to ask my son Connor if he would come up here and we're going to do a little demonstration. Okay, Connor, come on up. We're going to do this. All right. So what we're going to do is Connor is going to put, I'm going to put this over Connor's eyes. And I hope, Connor, that, and I'm going to ask you once I blindfold you to walk back to your spot, okay? And I hope that you can do that. I really do. I really hope without falling down the stairs, busting your teeth on the pew, nothing like that, all right? So I'm going to put this on you. We're all going to hope that you can do it, Connor. We're all going to hope for you, buddy. But we're going to do a little demonstration here. Okay, so can you see anything? You're good? Totally blind? Okay, so don't go anywhere. So what I'm going to do is, since he's my son, it's okay for me to do this and this. And I'm going to pick him up and I'm going to turn him around. So now he probably might not know where to go, right? Don't go anywhere. I don't want you walking in or falling off. Okay, so, Connor, how confident are you getting back to the pew without tripping and falling or anything like that?
Like 10%.
10% confident. That's good. So he's got a little luck going for him here. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you the way, okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to walk this way. You're going to take a step down. There you go. And there you go. And I'm going to walk him back to his pew. He's pretty confident now, huh? How confident are you now that you're going to make it back to your pew? Is that pretty good?
Yep.
Okay, don't take that off. Just stay there. Okay? Now, don't tell Connor, but I'm just messing with him. I'm going to make him sit like that the rest of the service. Just kidding. Keep it on. Okay. So, now, keep it on, Connor. So is God in our lives, right? You know, a lot of times we don't really know where to go. We can't see where we're going. Everything's just so messed up in life. We ain't got a clue what to do it or how to get there. But God's there. If we open up our hearts, if we humble ourselves, if we ask him for the direction that we need, he's going to gently show us the way. You know, I wanted to speak gently into Connor's ear and tell him it's okay. It's going to be okay. You're going to get there. Don't worry. I'm going to take care of you. Such is God the Father in our lives. He's going to tell us those things, you know. Don't worry about it. I'm going to get you there. I'm going to take care of you. And then once we're there, we're confident, right? We're confident. Okay, we made it. God got me where I was wanting to go. I'm in a safe place. And so we can establish that faith that we have. And so, you know, in future events, if we're feeling like we're struggling, like life is very difficult. If we're having these challenges, Connor, I'm coming back to you, and I want you to grab this, okay? All right. Now you just hold, you can hold on to it tight. Hold on to it tight because I'm going to let out some rope here. You got a rope. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give a little bit of this to Helen. Okay, Helen, hang on to that. Aaron, thank you for sitting there. I didn't even ask him to sit there. I was hoping we'd be able to do this. And this is kind of like a demonstration that we've done somewhere else. And I wanted to show this to everybody. Kind of pull a little bit of the slack out of that, guys. Okay. Let a little slack come out, Helen. Okay, Connor. Now I want you to be careful, and I want you to come back up here. Okay. Well, hang on. Follow the rope. You can't just walk. Yeah. There you go, buddy. Okay. And so there you go. Okay. So you got Brother Aaron here. Yep. You can feel him. Touch his arm. Put your arm up. Oh, there you go. Oh, boy. Wait. He let go. You weren't, okay. That didn't work out the way I wanted it to, but go ahead and take off your blindfold. But the example was that Connor, this was going to represent the rod of iron. And I just made a big old conundrum of it. And good job, buddy. You could go sit down. And see, he's getting too. I should have got somebody a little bit younger. He's one up in his dad. But on his way, you know, this is something that I wanted to demonstrate for everybody is that the rope was representing the rod of iron. Helen was a sister that was there that was helping Connor along. Aaron was there helping Connor along the way. And so in our lives, we have each other to be able to help us through when we just can't see clearly what we need to do and how we need to get there. And that was hopefully a little bit of a good demonstration of that. But, you know, just like in life, God's there. He's given us the scriptures. He's given us each other to support us in those times of need when we're really having a difficult time and figuring out how we're just going to survive, how we're going to get there, how we're going to make it through. He gives us that. He gives us all those things because he loves us. And so the third part of the definition is that which gives hope, he or that which furnishes ground of expectation or promises desires good. And we know that the Lord, he desires good. He loves that. He loves to see us do good. He hopes that we do good, just as we hope in our lives for others to do good. And the fourth one, an opinion or belief, not amounting to certainty, but grounded on substantial evidence. And I think about those things, and substantial evidence that I have in the scriptures is everyone's testimony, people's lives, how their lives change, how other people are humbled, how I'm lifted up by other people, how I see pillars in this church as something that gives me confidence and evidence and the ability to continue to have my hope grow. And so all those things that happen in our lives, whether it's good or bad, when we have that hope and that faith in God, it lifts each other up. It's essential. It's essential to our faith. And, you know, there's a value in it, and there's a value that money cannot, you cannot put a price on, and money can't buy it, having hope. You know, there's, it's just like an investment, you know, there's gambling in life and there's investing, something that, when you invest in something, you do research on it, you understand that it has potential, you understand that there's going to be expected growth in that what you're investing in, because you're looking out for the prosperity of something to be able to bear fruit. And that's what God is doing with us. He's looking at us. He invests in us. He invests his son in us to give his life. He invests time with us. He desires that. And, you know, that's our way of being able to bear the fruit and to provide the rewards of God's blessings and his love that he has for us. Gives us the confidence and courage. It's unshakable. We can't be shaken when we have the hope in God, no matter what the circumstances are. We know that people without a good foundation could be tossed to and fro. They could be struggling, not knowing what to do, but we can be an inspiration for them. I wanted to read in Jacob chapter 2, two verses here. And it says, you know, verses 23 and 24 of Jacob chapter 2. But before ye seek for riches, seek ye for the kingdom of God. And after that ye have obtained a hope in Christ, ye shall obtain riches if ye seek them. And ye will seek them for the intent to do good, to clothe the naked, and to feed the hungry, and to liberate the captive, and to administer relief to the sick and the afflicted. You know, all these things are the riches that we are given from God if we continue and have the intent to do good. It's a good intentions. If we have good intentions in those things that we do. And I've experienced that more and more, going into things with good intentions, reaps rewards. It's beneficial to us, physically, spiritually, all these things that we do. If we apply the right frame of mind, our hearts in the right place, if we involve God in doing so, all those things with the intent to do good, that we receive those riches that God has for us. But we know that there's an opposition in all things, and that Satan is always trying to pull us away, trying to crush our hopes, our desires to do good. And, you know, there's human nature that goes along with that too. And, you know, all these things that Satan puts out there for us to struggle. I'm not going to go through the whole list. I got scriptures and lists of things, but, you know, that opposition that Satan gives, it's just something that we need to be aware of. We need to be aware that he's trying to take away our hope and our faith. And when we have God in our lives, that's something that he can't take away. It's unshakable confidence in knowing that God is there for us to be able to help us through those things, to be able to help others through those things. And a lot of times when the opposition is, when Satan's trying to get after us and pull us away from those things that we should be doing, a lot of it's because he wants us to see that we need to put ourselves before those other things that need to be tended to. Put ourselves first. And we struggle with that. I believe all of us do at times. In Isaiah 53:6, it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." But I wanted to follow up with John chapter 10. It's in verses 27 and 28. It says, it's where Christ says that when you hear my voice, you will come unto me. You will know my voice. And if you listen, you will be blessed. I don't have it verbatim. I just wanted to reference that. And in Psalm 119, it says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. And in Proverbs 13:12, it says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. And, you know, that's when you lose hope, when you lose all ambition to do that which is good, you lose all desire to help somebody out, to help yourself out. You have no longer have any hope. It's a sickness. It's something that is detrimental to us physically. It can actually make us physically sick. And it can also make us spiritually sick as well. It could take us to a dark place. It can tear us down. It can pull us apart. And I think that hope is a catalyst to a lot of things in the church. I think that it's a catalyst to our relationships. I think it's a catalyst to our understanding. I think it's a catalyst between the love that we have for our brothers and sisters. That hope is the catalyst, and we need to keep that as part of this church community, to have that hope, to show that desire, to be able to know that we are an inspiration to others, that whatever the trial is, that we have the ability to overcome with God there. And so in Moroni, chapter 10, verses 15 through 17, it says, wherefore there must be faith, and if there must be faith, there must also be hope. And if there must be hope, there also must be charity. And except ye have charity, ye can in no wise be saved in the kingdom of God. Neither can ye be saved in the kingdom of God if ye do not have faith. Neither can ye if ye have no hope. And if ye have no hope, ye must needs be in despair. and despair cometh because of iniquity. And Christ truly said unto our fathers, if ye have faith, you can do all things which are expedient unto me. And so those are the things that we need to be willing to do, is to have that charity. We need to be willing to give. And that's putting others before ourselves. We need to heed to God's word and let it work within us and let it work within others. That future that we not necessarily know, we could kind of forecast it. We could kind of see what's going on. But whatever the future holds, you know, hope is the fuel to help us get us there to where we need to go in the future. Just like a vehicle, it runs on gas. Well, they're all starting to turn into electric vehicles, or will be in the future. But, you know, hope is our fuel in this day in which we live. And we need that fuel to be able to continue on, to get up the hills, to get through the struggles, to get through the mud, to get through the swamps, whatever the case, to cross oceans, to cross valleys, to cross deserts. Hope is that fuel that we need in our tank. It'll keep us and prevent us, not prevent us, it'll keep us in a fashion that will be able to help us be able to have the power, the drive, the ability to get there, to get to God's promise, to be able to serve others, to be able to spend eternal life with God the Father and His Son. And it says in Romans chapter 8, two verses there, 24 and 25, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. And that's again, those things that we have to have is patience. And I believe that God will show us all those things, give us understanding of all those things that we are involved in, that we need to deal with. But it's through patience and letting the Lord work upon us that we'll be able to see how we could be saved because of the hope that we have. So what do we hope for? You know, what do I hope for? You know, I hope that just like in our conversation at our town hall here that we just had before the service, I hope this congregation will grow. I hope that God's Spirit will work in us in a way that we can encourage others to come. I hope to see that our technology is providing, is feeding, is nurturing God's children. If they cannot come, we have to be understanding. We have to be compassionate. We have to be able to allow these things that we have as resources to do God's work. We have to allow those things to give those things the opportunity to work, not only in our lives, but to work for the greater good of the gospel. And so those things that we have that give us the ability to be able to reach out to people, you know, we have to believe in sincerity that God has the ability for us to be able to give that which is needed, to be able to provide to others. I don't necessarily think, and that's, I'll go back to talking about investing in God. It's so much more that any materialistic thing can provide. I think about financially where we're at in our lives, when I'm going to retire, all those things that play an important role in my family's life. You know, what am I leaving for my kids? What am I leaving for my wife if I was to return to the Lord tomorrow? You know, I want to establish all those things. But more importantly is I want to be able to establish something that they see and that they understand and that they hear from their from her husband, from their father, that proves that God can give us everything that we need. He knows our needs. He knows our desires. He helps us and He'll sustain us through this life and give us that eternal life if we continue to serve Him. And that's the key. And so Romans chapter 5 verses there. Therefore, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with our God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And just like, you know, we establish those things, life insurance, our retirement fund, all these things that we put in place for people to take care, to be taken care of. We know, and I have peace with that. And we know that God has all these things that he has put in place that can give us peace, that help us know that he has invested in us, that we have a place that we could kind of retire to once we leave this temporal body, and that we should have a peace in that, knowing that that has been established. He has put all that stuff in place. So when we leave this world, that we can return home and to be with our Father. It says, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. And I was talking to a brother a while ago, and I was going through some struggles, and one of those things that he had said to me was that you got to embrace the moment, you know, embrace that moment that you're in, and have God be able to give you the direction in which you need to go. And it was a time. And I thought about that, and, you know, how comforting that is, and how much peace that brings upon your heart when you really know and you feel the stress and the burden and the difficulty. You can't sleep, you can't eat, and you know that God is there. And he, if you do those things that he calls you to do, if you follow after him, if you listen to his voice as one of his children, as he is our shepherd, as a sheep, if we're humble, how he'll give us the peace and understanding of what we need to do to get there. And I always like to think about the fold of God and how dangerous it can be when a sheep leaves the fold. Very, very difficult for that one sheep. Very dangerous, I should say, for that one sheep. But as a group, that's where that sheep is well tended to, taken care of. Eyes are on him. Many eyes are upon that sheep, and they look out for one another. And so think about those things. And so we know that in Ether chapter 5, it says, verse 9, but because of the faith of men, he has shown himself unto the world and glorified the name of the Father and prepared a way that thereby others might be partakers of the heavenly gift, that they might have hope for those things which they have not seen. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the scriptures that give us evidence and validity to the accounts of what transpired in the past, because I believe that there is is greater than you can imagine, giving us that in do good. It's that the Holy Ghost, and I believe that the Lord has given us that gift to be able to know in our hearts and to see and to understand those things that he has done, and it's accounted for by divine inspiration in the gospel for us to have a good, clear understanding, as long as we're willing to study, to contemplate, and to have patience and letting the Lord's will work in our lives. And it says here in verse 10, wherefore ye may also have hope and be partakers of the gift, if you will but have faith. And part of that, having that faith, is having that charity. And we need to be partakers of that gift. We need to be investing in the gospel, investing in the church, investing in God. Our time, our abilities, our tithing, all those things that the scriptures teach us, we need to be investing in that. And then with that comes that peace, that understanding that God takes care of his children. He helps us be able to be at ease, helps us be able to get through those struggles. Ether chapter 5, verses 4 through 10 says, "Wherefore, whoso believeth in God, might surely hope for a better world, yea, even a place at the right hand of God, which hope cometh of faith, maketh an anchor to the souls of men, which would make them sure and steadfast, always abounding in good works, being led to glorify God." And I wanted to stop there real quick because it's important to me, and I hope it's important to you, that through whatever it is that we go through in life, it's kind of like when you're going through a forest and you don't know your way around, and you have a brother or sister that comes and rescues you, helps you in your time of need, and you understand that not only did they come for you, but they showed you the way. They showed you how to get to a safe place. And if that place that you've been at is somewhere afar off, that you know where you've been. You know how you got there. And you understand why you got there. And more importantly, God has shown you that that's a place that he took you from. That even though it's like a sheep that has gone astray, if you were miles, hundreds of miles, thousands of miles away spiritually, physically, whatever the case may be, that God is always having that desire to bring you back. He could bring somebody into your life to show you the way back. He could bring that person in your life that loves you back to help you come back. And there's many ways that the Lord works. And if our eyes are open to it, we see it, and we see it unfold before ourselves. That helps us be able to understand not just the proof and the evidence in our own lives, but the validity of the scriptures that God has given us and how that proves his greater ability to and to help us understand how he works and how his spirit works. And so it says in verse 9 here, I'm going to skip down to, I'm running out of time. Well, yeah. Is that clock? Yeah, it's right there. Okay. Wow, that went by fast. Sorry. Well, I don't know if I need to apologize, but wow. Yeah. It says, "But because of faith of men, he has shown himself unto the world and glorified the name of the Father, and prepared a way that thereby others might be partakers of the heavenly gift, that they might hope for those things which they have not seen. Wherefore ye may also have hope and be partakers of the gift, if ye will but have faith." And 1 Peter 3:15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and faith." And I believe by all means that our brother Aaron's sermon this morning, our town hall meeting, and the things that our brother Adam spoke about all entwined together, and that last scripture there, "Be ready to always give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." You know, we have been given something special, I believe. I believe that's the Book of Mormon. I appreciate it more and more. And I understand how, and I believe that the Lord will bring forth more. He'll continuously bring forth more evidence as time goes on. What does the future hold? I don't know. I don't know the time frame in which the Lord works. I watch a lot of interesting things that are being uncovered. We're watching that in our Sunday school that are being uncovered in Israel. Artifacts, evidences, what's the word I'm looking for? Doctrine, ancient scrolls. They're finding these things. They're continuing to uncover these things. And it's really interesting because I believe that it goes right in line with those things that were prophesied. And I believe that the Lord is showing people and proving people that he is with us and among men. And I anxiously await. I remember brothers that have been up here and have preached and mentioned things of whether or not they would see the coming of the Lord. Well, in my life, the Lord has proven to me that He is there. And whether it becomes tomorrow or beyond my lifetime, to me, really, it matters not. It's something that He has proven to me that He is there. And whether I see Him here on this earth or after, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that He has given that to me in my heart. And I hope that that you're inspired in a way that the Lord has proven to you that He is there. Either He's going to come to us or He's going to be there waiting for us. And I thank God for that. It really has strengthened me in my faith, in my walk, in my spiritual life. I hope that He continues to strengthen you in your walk, in your spiritual life. And in doing so, be sure to humbly and meekly give God the glory for those things. So I thank you for your time.